Hello, welcome to the Wednesday, March 11th, 2015 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. We got a pretty large patch Tuesday to talk about today. We got a total of 14 bulletins that patch 46 different vulnerabilities. In the past, we had more vulnerabilities than that, but in this month's patch Tuesday, in particular the Internet Explorer patch, while it does fix a number of issues, it's not as bad as in some prior patch Tuesdays. And with that, let's dive in and start with the Internet Explorer rollup patch. That's MS-15-18. It fixes a number of different issues with Internet Explorer. One of the vulnerabilities has been publicly disclosed, but no exploit was being used at the time the patch was released yet, but exploitability is set to 1. Now, the next bulletin, MS-15-19, that fixes a problem with Visual Basic Script. This patch you may not see. It really fixes a problem with Internet Explorer, but in Internet Explorer 8 and later, this vulnerability is addressed in MS-15-19. Older versions of Internet Explorer, it's rolled into MS-15-18. So as a result, you may not see MS-15-19, which gets you then to MS-15-20. Now, MS-15-20 solves yet another instance of an older problem where we have untrusted DLLs being loaded. The way this is exploited is that an attacker tricks you to open a document and change a directory to a remote directory. And then in that remote directory, there's an attacker-supplied DLL, and then the software you are opening will load that DLL from that untrusted directory and execute code. So this is another sort of instance of that MS-15-20. Also, one of the two vulnerabilities, this DLL vulnerability, was apparently also used way back with Stuxnet and never really fixed quite correctly. That's CVE-2015-96. MS-15-21 is another remote exploitable code execution vulnerability, and it affects Adobe Font Driver. So the way this would be exploited is that the attacker would trick you into loading a font that would then be parsed by these Adobe Font Drivers, which are included with Windows, and that could lead to remote code execution. MS-15-22 is, well, another vulnerability in Office, so nothing really all that terribly exciting here, but still remote code execution and rated as critical by Microsoft, which means that there is no user interaction required to exploit this vulnerability. MS-15-23, now we're getting into the important range of the patches. This one is yet another kernel mode driver privilege escalation. We talked a lot about that in the past. MS-15-24 is an information disclosure vulnerability in PNG processing. Essentially, someone could trick you into loading a PNG image that's crafted, and then the result, you would leak parts of memory or such that could be used in further exploits. MS-15-25, that's also an elevation of privilege or an impersonation vulnerability in Windows kernel drivers. With this, you could essentially then just impersonate another user and execute code as this different user. MS-15-26, we are getting into the server range here now for a bit, and this patch affects Microsoft Exchange Server, a number of cross-site scripting and similar vulnerabilities that could be used to escalate privileges on Microsoft Exchange Server. MS-15-27 is a spoofing vulnerability in NetLogon, so here again, you could essentially execute commands as a different user. And then MS-15-28, that's an access control list bypass in the Windows Task Scheduler. Essentially, you can, with this vulnerability, launch code using the Windows Task Scheduler and then execute parts of commands that you shouldn't be able to execute. Also important. MS-1529, another information disclosure, this time in the Windows photodecoder. And then we do have MS-1530, a denial of service vulnerability in RDP. So essentially crafted RDP or remote desktop protocol packets can be used to shut down the system. Where it gets interesting again is the last patch here, MS-1531. That's the patch for the freak vulnerability. So it will turn off these old export-only ciphers. As far as patch priorities go, I think the Internet Explorer one should probably come first, followed by the Visual Basic script, if you're affected by it or not, of course, depends. And then the MS-1520, because it does include the patch for CVE-2015-96, which should be pretty straightforward to exploit if it's really just that remote DLL vulnerability. And then, of course, the freak vulnerability, you probably want to apply that, even though I don't really see it as a huge risk, in particular compared to other bulletins, like, for example, the Office remote code execution vulnerability. I didn't see anything today from Adobe. If you did see any patches, let me know and we'll try to write them up. But I'm looking at the Adobe security bulletin page right now, and the last ones I see are from February. But well, if you are not running Windows and need something to keep you busy, Brad wrote about a pretty neat tool, ThreatClass. ThreatClass is a website that allows you to look for PCAPs of exploit kit traffic. What they're looking for is also for people to analyze some of these traffic captures to see whether they're real exploit kits or something else, or what's going on with some of these traffic captures. I also see them as great little traffic captures that you can use to, for example, check IDS rules or look for indicator of compromise and check whether or not your systems will detect them. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow.